Right. Well, it is my privilege to be here tonight. I was very surprised to have Pastor Clear ask me to preach in his pulpit tonight. And so I'm privileged, and I feel revived listening to the congregational hymns in English. It's been so long. I think I have not sat down with y'all for about 11 years since I left to Bible college back in 2007. If you don't remember me, that's okay, but I went to Providence Baptist College. It was also alongside Fires of Evangelism, where I graduated from in 2011, and I came back about 5 years ago to help Pastor and I with the ministry, and I thank God for all that he has allowed me to serve him, and I owe a lot of what God has allowed me to do to Pastor Clear and you all for being there to support the Spanish ministry almost 14 years ago now that started. So I'm greatly indebted to you all. Because had Pastor Clear not called a Spanish pastor to come and knock on my door, I'd be lost. And so praise God for soul winners and bus routes, and the preaching of the gospel is not in vain. And I have a beautiful wife. Her name is Flora Dalmo. She goes by Floor. And we have, as of Friday, 5 beautiful children. We just had our 5th child, and her name is Diana Imelda. My wife is at home recovering from surgery. And I just praise God that for all his many blessings, and for allowing me to be here tonight with you all, and to praise his name, and now to share his word with you. So let's all stand together for the reading of God's word, and I will invite you to join me in 1 John chapter 2, and we'll read verses number 1 through 6. And if I may, I'll like to start off reading verse 1, and if you can all join me on verse 2, and then we'll alternate and read all together verse 6. I'm not sure if that's how you guys do it here, but that's what I'm used to. So I'll start reading here. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And if he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." And all together, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked." And in this passage and the few verses before chapter 2, I would like to share it with you tonight, three very important things about the Christian walk that it talks about here in verse number 6, how we ought to walk, how God expects us to walk, and in throughout the New Testament we see that the Christian life is about walking in the, and as it mentions here, in the light. And walking is in other words progressing, advancing, and growing in grace. And we have three very important things that we must do if we are to walk, if we are to progress, if we are going to keep on and pressing forward in the Christian life. We must take heed to what the Bible has to share for us here tonight. Let us pray together, ask God to speak to your heart. And Father, we thank you, Lord, this evening for your precious word, Lord, that has been preserved perfectly, Lord. Thank you so much for this precious gift, Lord, that has transformed the lives of every single person here. Would it not be for this letter of grace, Lord, this letter of love, Lord, we would all be doomed. We would all perish in our sins, Lord. But thank you for the hope and the promises. Help us to take heed, Lord, to the your counsel, your admonition, Lord. And I pray that you not only speak to my heart, but Lord, that you would speak to every single one of us here, Lord. You have something for everyone here. Help, Lord, that you take control. And we praise you, Lord, for all that you'll do. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So I would like to start off with a disclaimer that you not think of anyone else when we read these verses, because it's, you know, it's so common to think, oh, I wish such and such person was here, or, you know, I hope that person over there is paying attention because they need this. Truth be told, we all need to hear what the Bible says. So don't be judging other people or thinking this is for someone else. We are all made of flesh and bone. We're all sinners. And if we cannot recognize that, then we were told straight to our face by the word of God right here, then we're lying. If we can't recognize that we're sinners, then we're lying to ourselves. We're deceiving ourselves, it says in verses that we're going to read here. So as the Bible says in James, the Bible is that glass, is that mirror. And we're about to look at it, and my hope is that we'll go away tonight not forgetting what we heard tonight, and being able to be doers of God's word. So these truths are for all of us. Let's look upon chapter one of 1 John, verse 8, before we get back into the passage that we read. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Please make note of the words, if we say. And then let's look at verse 6 also says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Verse number 10 says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And chapter 2, verse number 4 says, he that saith. And so it's made clear here, there's an understanding that there's a difference between what we say and what we really are, or what the reality is. And it's not about what we say we believe, or what we say amen to, or what others might believe that we are because of what we said or what we look like on the outside. But the truth is, it's our actions. It's our lifestyle. It's our testimony. It's who we are when no one sees us, what we really are. There's an understanding here that the Christian life is more than what we say. It's not, the Christian life is not about words. It's about actions. It's about being a true Christian when no one's looking. And what we say should reflect how we behave, how we act, how we work, how we carry ourselves out in the world and at work and at school. What we say here in church, or what we say to believe, our beliefs that we hold, should match what we actually do. And if it doesn't, it says, verse 6 again, 1 John chapter 1, verse 6, it says, if we say we have fellowship with him, who here, you know, would be the first to say, you know, we're not so eager to say if we don't have fellowship with the Lord? You know, who's going to say, oh, I'm not right with God? You know, we don't want others to think we're not right with God. We want to have fellowship with him, but do we have fellowship with God? It says, if we say we have fellowship with him, as we sung, oh, I want more than anything, you know, to be led by him. What precious words. But is that true? It says, if we say we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth. We're not practicing the truth, and the truth is not in us. We're lying. We're deceiving ourselves. And we can live that way, but we would be in darkness. So there's only one thing that we can do to avoid this, and that is to walk with him, to walk in lightness. Ask, if you don't have fellowship with God, or if you cannot have fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ here, don't ask yourself why. It's because we're in darkness. If we don't have fellowship with the Lord, if we don't have fellowship with our fellow church members, then it is because we're in darkness. Something in our life is in darkness that does not allow us to have that fellowship, that peace, that joy that only comes from walking in the light with the Lord. As children grow, they learn to walk at all different times, and there will be obstacles for children to walk. They're going to fall down. There's going to be scraped knees. There's going to be obstacles, and in the Christian life, it is the same way. We need to learn to walk, and it's not going to be a year. It's going to be different amounts of time for different people to learn to walk, and the obstacles that I may have or that you may have will all be different. And those obstacles, we'll have to learn to overcome them. But we'll always have to be vigilant and practicing our walk with the Lord. Because as the Bible says to us, wherefore let him that thinketh that he standeth take heed lest he fall. So when you think you have a good walk with God, don't let your guard down. Don't think, oh, well, I've been a Christian, I've been reading my Bible, I've been praying, I've been serving. Be careful. You always have to watch your step. You always have to be vigilant and walking and praying and submitting and confessing. Otherwise, we run the risk of falling. We're all capable of falling. So let's be very careful with that pride that we don't think that, oh, because of so many years, or because of all that I've done, or because of all that I've given, all that I've served, or because of who my parents are, or what position I have in the church, that I'm immune to falling. No, absolutely not. God does not want us to sin, but we sin. Let's go to chapter 2, verse 1. It says, my little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. God does not want us to sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. This is not a pass for us to sin. I heard an example that I didn't quite understand because I don't cook, but sometimes I guess when you're cooking, you want to use only the white of the egg. You don't want to use the egg yolk. Sometimes it gets mixed together. And what are you to do when you're messed up the recipe? What are you to do when you sin? And, you know, you have an ingredient in your recipe that you didn't want. Well, you can make scrambled eggs with that egg. But you can't use it for your recipe anymore because it wasn't supposed to have any yolk, or vice versa. I'm not sure what the recipe called for. But, so when we sin, it wasn't God's will, but God can make scrambled eggs out of your life. It's okay, you can laugh. So we're going to make mistakes. It's not an excuse to make mistakes because some of the consequences aren't going to be as tasty as scrambled eggs. Some of those consequences are going to be irreversible and life-altering and painful and leave scars for the rest of our life. But if we do sin, we have to take into account what this verse and the next verse say we are to do when we do sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. If we sin, and we all sin, and we can't ad- we can't be honest about our sin, if we try to hide our sin, if we don't confess our sin, then we make him a liar. Verse 4 says, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So if we keep not his commandments, let us be honest about it. God invites us that if we go to him, that he will forgive us, that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But we must confess our sins. If we don't confess our sins, we're accusing God of lying. We're saying everything's all right when it's not. God knows the truth. What is the truth? Be honest with God. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with others. Stop trying to impress. Stop trying to pass off as someone that you're not. We need to confess our sins. There's a difference between confessing our sins and admitting to our sins. It says in 1 John verse 9, chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That confession should be us owning up to that sin. Confessing our sins by name, not sugarcoating them, not saying, God, if I sinned, but God, I sinned, this is what I did. Just as David confessed in Psalm chapter 51, that we should recognize that God is righteous and that what we did was wrong and turn from it. He will then be our advocate. He will then become the propitiation for our sins if we confess. That's why he's saying, these things have I written unto you, to remind you that when you've sinned and you come to him to cleanse you, he will be your advocate. He cleanses your sins that you confess. All the more reason to go to him. There's no reason not to go to Jesus to confess our sins. I confess that I have sinned doing this. Say the name of the sin, whether it be stealing or adultery or fornication or looking at something that you shouldn't or listening to something that you shouldn't have or having a wicked thought. Confess it to the Lord. This word propitiation means that Jesus' death for our sins satisfies the righteousness of God. God's righteousness says that the wages of sin is death. And so Jesus died for our sins. He paid for us. He is also, as it says, an advocate, because not only has he paid for our sins, but then he comes alongside us. He lifts us up. He cleanses us. He rescues us. He allows us to stand back up and continue on. True confession is naming the sin. What is there? Is there a sin in my life? Ask yourself, that I don't want to fess up to, that I don't want to confess, that I know that I'm committing. I admit it, but I'm not ready to confess it. You're not walking in the truth. You're not walking in the light. And until you do that, you will not have the advocate there on your side to lift you up. Well, there is two things to encourage us here to all come to Jesus, who has already paid for our sin and who is ready to lift us up. If we confess, we first must be honest. And as I said, to stop sugarcoating, stop calling it something else. Stop saying it's acceptable. It's commonplace. It's what everybody does. It's not that bad. No, it's sin. Lord, forgive me, because I know it doesn't please you. Help me to turn away from it. We have to be honest with God, with ourselves, and with others. Look upon verse number 3 here in chapter 2. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. How the next step after confessing is to have victory over sin. We can't have victory over sin until we confess it. Once we confess our sin, then we have to turn from it and keep his commandments of avoiding that sin. If there's something that God wants us to do, whether it be serving him or giving or changing our attitude, changing our work ethic, changing something in our life that we're just not doing, we need to keep his commandments. We need to start doing what his Holy Spirit has brought you conviction to do. We need to do that. We need to keep his commandments, keep his word, follow the guidance of his Holy Spirit so that we can have that victory over sin. The secret to victory is to walk in the light, is to keep his commandments. It's to have peace and joy. It's to serve together and love one another and to keep on fellowshipping and congregating and serving together. If we do the things and if we are trying to walk in his light and keep his commandments, then it will be really easy to notice if all of a sudden we're doing something that is not in the light. And then we can stop that. We can go to God and confess that right away, as soon as possible. If you're walking with God, if you're fellowshipping with him and reading your Bible and praying every day, if you sin, you're going to notice. You're going to feel bad about it. The Holy Spirit's going to bring you conviction. And the next thing we need to do is confess that sin as soon as possible. Walking in his commandments and walking in his truth will help us to be sincere, to be as real as possible, to not try to be fake and impress others. And obedience, trying to walk with God and to please God, is proof that we love God. Look at verse 5. It says, "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him." So it speaks about the love being perfected if we're walking in his truth, in his word, in the light. There's three reasons to obey God. As there's three reasons we might obey here on earth, others, as a slave obeys because he has to, or as an employee obeys because he needs to. A Christian should obey God because he wants to. Why do you obey God? Do you even obey God? You feel you have to or you need to because others are watching, or do you obey God because you're walking with him? That's what you want to do. You want to please God. You're not God's slave. You're not God's employee. He's your father and you're his child. You should want to please him for all that he's done for us. Because you love him. Because he saved you. Because he's given you the life he's given you. And answered your prayers. And transformed your life and saved your loved ones. And given you a mansion up yonder. A sincere life, an honest life, as we're reading here, of walking in God's commandments and walking in his light, walking in truth, cannot be built upon darkness. It can't be built with sin besetting us and hidden sin and sin that we haven't confessed. We cannot. We cannot have an honest and sincere life, Christian life, if we're walking in darkness in some aspect of our life. If we're one thing here at church or within our family and another thing in another social sphere, at work or at school or on social media, young people, we have to be sincere everywhere. A life of trying to please other people is leading us into walking into darkness. Because we will only care about what we appear to others. And we should care only about pleasing him first and foremost. Let us not be Christians that our talk and our walk, they don't match. They don't make sense. We say one thing and do another. That's why many children of Christians don't go on to be Christians. Because mom said and dad said one thing, but at home they were another thing. They saw that hypocrisy and said, I don't want that. I don't want that Christian life. If that's Christianity, it's no better than the fakes at school and at work and my friends who don't go to church. If we want Christianity, the torch of Christianity and the gospel to be carried forward, we need to be sincere and real Christians in our homes, at work, at school, at the store, everywhere we go. Because the world is tired of Christians that say one thing and do another. No one likes to deal with a hypocrite, a liar. Will tell you one thing to your face and then do another thing behind your back. But if we walk in the light and we care about pleasing Him, if we walk in the light, He will help us to be honest. He will keep us humble. He will help us to realize what we are. What are we? We're sinners, saved by grace. No one here any closer to Him than anyone else. He will help us if we walk in His word, in His light, to be aware of what our sin is and confess it and to conquer it. No one likes to, as I said, no one likes to deal with a hypocrite. But that's, sadly, the only kind of Christians that most people in this world encounter. So we have a struggle. We have a struggle when we want to go out soul winning and knocking on doors, that people had a bad experience with other Christian and other churches, and it could even have been another Christian in our church. God forbid. But we need to do our part and not be quick to just judge others. As Jesus said, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. None of us can cast that first stone. We need to recognize that and go to Jesus and ask Him to, whatever sin that you've sinned, that you haven't confessed, it doesn't matter how long ago it was, it doesn't matter if it was today, weeks ago, years ago, something that you're practicing, some sin that's besetting you that you're still practicing, you need to confess that. You need to come to the altar. You need to go bow your knee and confess that sin. Otherwise, your Christian life is a lie. It says you cannot be in darkness and say you're walking with Him. You could say it, but it's not true. What would you like to continue as? Would you like to be sincere with God and confess your sin, and He can help you to have victory over it? Because first you need to be honest and own up and confess it, and then you can have that help from that advocate who will come alongside you and help you on plan B after that sin. What can God do with you even after that sin? There might not be any consequences. You know, there'll be blessings. God can use, if you're still alive, if you're breathing, if you have a pulse, God can use you. God wants to use you, all of us, to be a blessing to others. And that's the ultimate blessing. That's why we're here, to be a blessing to others. So stop, as it says here in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let us not deceive ourselves. Let us freely come to Christ, who is inviting us to confess our sins, to be honest with Him, and to allow that truth, that light, that walk, that peace that He can only give us to be in us, so that we can be a witness to the lost. We can't be a good witness. We can't share the gospel effectively if we have sin that we haven't confessed. It's just not, the power of God will not flow the same. God wants to use a clean vessel. And so we must confess daily. If it's however many times a day, 7 times, you know, every time in our mind, constantly praying, Lord, I shouldn't have thought that. Lord, forgive me. But Lord, I want to have your blessings on my life. Help me to repent from that. When's the last time that you confessed your sins? Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for giving us, Lord, the invitation. Lord, that you want us to come to you. There's no barriers. There's no time limit. There's no guilt. There's no reason that we should not come to you. You're not going to condemn us. You've forgiven us already, Lord, but you want us to be humble and honest and to repent from our sins and turn away from them, to seek, Lord, your grace and your mercy, and to truly recognize, Lord, that our sin, Lord, you had to pay for it. Every sin, Lord, that we commit, you had to pay for. And it caused you to go to the cross and you and your suffering. And Lord, you did that, Lord, to pay for us so that we can have forgiveness and eternal life. And you want to restore us, Lord. Lord, and how often we need, Lord, to come to you. That's how many times we can come. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to have, Lord, to have the opportunity, Lord, to confess our sins, Lord. Thank you for, Lord, more than understanding us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for having that perfect plan, Lord, that you know that we're not perfect, Lord. And it's not an excuse to sin, Lord, but you want us to get back up. You want to give us the strength. You want to return the joy and the peace, and you want us to get back on track. And Lord, I pray if there's someone here tonight, Lord, while the piano plays, that you make that person would make an altar at their chair or come to the altar and confess their sins, Lord. There's not a single one of us, Lord, that doesn't have sins to confess every day. And Lord, we shouldn't make light of them. We shouldn't think that, oh, God will forgive me anyway. No, God, you want us to recognize how evil that sin is, how dirty and awful and rotten that sin is, Lord, that it sent your Son to the cross to die for us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for being there, Lord, to receive us and to give us that forgiveness, to lift us back up, Lord. And Lord, I pray for that person, Lord, if there be someone here that hadn't confessed their sins or that doesn't know you, Lord, even as their Savior, Lord, that today they'd get right with you, Lord. That they would accept you as their personal Savior. They would recognize, Lord, that confessing their sins, Lord, is necessary, Lord. We cannot live the Christian life without confessing our sins. We can't have peace. God wants us to have victory over sin, but we need to own up to it. Own our mistakes. Call it out by name and walk away from it. Lord, help us to walk in your light. Help us not to confuse anyone else in this world, those who are lost. Help us, Lord, to lead a sincere life, a life of a good testimony and a good example, Lord, that our behavior, that our acts, that our work ethic, and the manner that we carry ourselves and the way we converse, Lord, that everything bring you honor and glory. That we set the foundation, Lord, for our children and for others, Lord, who aren't saved, Lord, to be able to be saved, Lord, because we were sincere. And we didn't pretend to be something that we weren't. It's a miserable life, and it's not what God wanted for you to only pretend to be a good Christian. God wants you to be a good Christian. God does not want others to think that you're a good Christian, and then you to not even read your Bible or to even pray. God wants you to first work on your walk with Him. And work on your walk with Him and obeying Him because you want to. And then the outside. When you clean the inside of the cup, the outside will slowly become clean. That's the problem when we're hypocrites and we only want to clean the outside. And we want others to think that we're spiritual. But on the inside, there's just darkness. Lord, thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come to your light. to confess our sins, Lord, daily, and to be able, Lord, to continue walking with you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy, for your grace. Lord, we pray that the words that you use, Lord, who are we, Lord, to call you out as a liar? You know the truth. You know if we're walking with you or not. Don't deceive yourself. And help us, Lord, to walk away from here being doers of your word. And if you weren't reading your Bible, start reading it. If you weren't praying, start praying. Lord, thank you for this new day, this second chance, Lord, and for all the second chances you give us, Lord. We praise you and we thank you for your promises that we read tonight. And we pray, Lord, that it would help, Lord, us to in our Christian walk, or help us to help someone else. And thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we praise you. Amen.